Joining us today is our old friend. I don't want to say old, but our certainly our longtime friend, John Fraley. How are you, John?
Great, John. Good to see you.
You too. And welcome to our new facilities.
It's beautiful new offices.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed you didn't quite know which door to come in.
Yeah, you got this awesome view of the whole town here.
Yeah. Yeah. This is pretty neat, isn't it? Now, you have written how many books now?
Well, four books have been published by Far Country. Yep.
Okay. This the new one is called Wild River Pioneers. What's different about this one than the other books?
Well, this is a second edition to Wild River Pioneers that came out in 2009. So it's got all the updates of the characters that have kind of gone into the fabric of folklore around here, like Josephine Duty, the bootleg lady of Glacier Park, and Doris Huffine, and George Snyder, who owned the lodge at McDonald Lake. There's a relook at all those issues they were involved in, and added some fate of some of the old timers. Like, we have a followed to the grave Josephine Duty, had a funeral for her. We actually got a headstone for her, and a headstone for Joe Gonyer, by the way, who was the first sheriff of Flathead County. So that's the kind of things we did in this book. So it's a big update of the 2008 Wild River Pioneers. Right.
Just kind of paging through this now, some fascinating pictures. Where did you come by all these pictures?
Well, first of all, the book is based on a lot of stories that my wife's great aunt Doris Huffine told. Now, she's been dead for 30 years, but she knew a lot of the old timer ups in Middle Fork because she owned the Stanton Creek Lodge, and she was a postmaster at Nyack. And you know how postmasters know everything about that.
Yeah.
And that was in the 30s. And so she really put me onto a lot of different characters, like Gordon Poliott. And then, of course, they're pictures have been passed down from the old timers, and so they were kind enough to loan them to me for the books.
Wow, these are just fascinating pictures. Seems like everybody that's got a picture here has got a hold of some animal.
Well, you know, Doris Huffine had a pet beaver. That was a very interesting experience that they had. But there's back then it was a lot different. Like Betty the Trapper, who lived up in Nyack. She had a pet bear that liked ice cream. She had a pet Martin, a pet goat, you know, pet about anything you could say. And one of the updates in here about Betty the Trapper is her husband, John Schur, who was in my last book, he spent a winter at Schaefer Meadows. He said to me that before Betty died, and she kind of mentioned this, that she wanted to be able to look out over the Great Bear and the Middle Fork and the park. And so she wanted to be on top of Great Northern. And so after she passed away, John stopped in my office at that time. I was working for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And he said, would you be willing to carry her ashes to the top of Great Northern Peak? And I said, boy, that's a big responsibility. I don't know. And the more I thought about it, I thought, that'd be great, you know. So in 2016, my son and I carried Betty's ashes 5 miles and 5,000 feet to the top of Great Northern.
Wow.
Scattered them in the wind. Where there was a goat on a snowbank right below us when we did it. And so when you drive up the Middle Fork or the South Fork and you look up towards Great Northern, that's where Betty is.
I'll be darned. Wow.
So that's just one of the stories.
Let's see here. I guess I want to hear about the Glacier National Park bootlegger.
Oh, yeah, Josephine Duty.
Yeah.
So Josephine Duty was created basically by Doris Huffine because Doris owned Stanton Creek Lodge, and her sister Maxine would, when they came to Kalispell for supplies and so on in the 30s, they would stop and talk to Josephine, who was actually what she called a dancer at McCarthyville. So you can imagine what she might have been doing there. But she actually lived in the park and had a homestead, and she was busted by the Park Service one day when she had 18 gallons of moonshine, 2 stills, 5 barrels of mash. I mean, she was a real bootlegger. And once she moved across the river, that's when Doris and Maxine would visit her quite a bit. And so now she's so into the fabric of our local lore. There's a restaurant named after her right in Coram, Josephine's. Mm-hmm. There's a beer named after her, a whiskey named after her called Glacier Dew. So she's become this fabric, part of the fabric of the, and in the book here, it describes, we finally gave her a funeral. She never got a headstone or a funeral. So working with Jim Korn at the Conrad Cemetery here, great guy, he knows everything about old timers. We located where her gravesite was. She was next to Dan Duty, the ranger she married, but there was no headstone. So we put a headstone in, and it was 2009. We had a funeral for her. We had fancy signs, and people from the park came and the museum and had this great funeral for Josephine. And so that was fun. And then one more thing that you're going to think I'm weird, but 2016, we had a seance for Josephine at her homestead. You have to go across the Middle Fork. It's still remote.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried a Ouija board, did all kinds of things, took a philosopher over there. Nothing happened, but my daughter tried. But we gave it a try. And so there's a lot of mystery, though, associated with her. And I wondered if maybe she's... I'm hoping she's at rest now. She's got a funeral, a headstone. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows about her, a restaurant named after her. Mm-hmm. So wow. She ought to be satisfied, because Doris and Maxine told me that when I first saw the homestead, asked them what it was, they told me that she was haunting me and calling me to tell her story. Well, I can't tell it any more than I've told it now.
Yeah. So where on the Middle Fork are we talking about here?
Well, everybody probably knows where West Glacier is.
Yeah.
So you go past West Glacier, east, heading towards East Glacier, mm-hmm. and you'll hit a Nyack Flats after about 10 miles. Yeah. It's that flat area of the Middle Fork. Mm-hmm. She was located at the mouth of Harrison Creek, right straight across the river, on the other side of the river, which it's hard to get to. And the neat thing about it is, in 2012, because of all this notoriety, the Trust for Public Lands went through the process they needed to go through to acquire that for Glacier Park. So now everybody owns Josephine's headstone, you know, her homestead.
Well, that's some Class 5 rapids up through there.
Yeah, well, below that. Yeah, just below where Josephine is. Yeah. But you can still go across the river and visit her homestead if you want to. In fact, you own it now, because all of us do, because it's now within Glacier National Park.
Oh, be darned. Yeah. Wow. All right. Let's sneak in a couple more good stories.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well, there's one very haunted place up there, right where Nyack is. You turn mm-hmm. left into Nyack, and there's your train tracks are going along, because that's that east to west train.
Yeah.
There was a terrible accident there in 1901. A train cut loose from Essex and rolled backwards down the tracks and collided with a passenger train. And there is now, believe it or not, 30 people in a mass grave up the Middle Fork that was completely unmarked. And the poor guy that lives there, I better not use his name right now. He has been haunted. It was the Robertson family up there.
Yeah.
And but now we have a plaque up there that commemorates this accident. And see, when this happened to Great Northern, they were in the See America First campaign. They didn't know how to handle an accident where 30 or 40 people died. A lot of them were Chinese workers. So they shoved it all into this mass grave, and it's just been forgotten until now. And now there's a plaque there that commemorates that. So maybe those spirits will rest a little easier on poor Corkhill, who lives up there. He lives right within 30 feet of the mass grave. And most people don't even know it's there. They just go by on the Amtrak.
Are there any trails back up in there where we can hike back up in there?
Well, yeah, there is. Actually, Rescue Creek has a trail. And there's a great story with Rescue Creek that's right by Nyack. And it was the Penrose brothers from Pennsylvania, very prominent people, friends of Teddy Roosevelt, members of the Boone and Crockett Club. They came out here and were taken up into the mountains in 1907 by the first geological survey that was done with Albert Stiles. And Penrose got himself into a situation where he was severely mauled by a grizzly bear. And then the whole story is in the book. And then he's then rescued and brought straight down the mountain there to the tracks near Nyack. And that's why where we got the name of Rescue Creek. That's how we got Great Bear Wilderness, Great Bear Peak. It all happened right there. So much history right there in the Middle Fork.
Wow. I'm just wondering, it would be without sending too many tourists up there. It would be neat to be able to hike that. I'm thinking with all the tourism we have in the area now, looking for great hikes for locals that would appreciate something like that.
Well, if they're real hardy, they could go up Rescue. It's a little brushy, but you can go up and look up into the saddle where they brought him down. And, you know, one other person that gets overlooked a lot is George Snyder, who was the original owner of the Glacier Park Lodge. We all know where that is now. McDonald. He was a maverick, and he battled with the Park Service, his lawyers versus the Park Service lawyers, for years. And he kept beating the Park Service lawyers. They kept trying to get him out of the park because he was running these boats where they didn't want him to run them. And so finally they got him out, and guess where he ended up? In a little cabin near Great Aunt Doris up the Middle Fork in Sand Creek. And he was there for a while. Then he went to Work Progress Administration, because some of those older folks in the 30s, you know, would do that. He came into Kalispell. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, he fell off the back of a truck and hurt himself pretty bad. And I asked Doris, well, where did he ever end up before she died many years ago? And she says, well, we're not sure exactly. Well, she was lying to me, because where Snyder ended up was Warm Springs State Mental Institution.
Really?
Yes, and she was ashamed to say that. And so I figured it out and called obliquely and called Warm Springs, and I said, you didn't have a George Snyder there, did you? Nope. And about a week later, they called back and said, yes, we did. He was interred in 1940 and he died in 1944, but we don't have his file. It's at the Historical Society because it was so long ago. So I called the Historical Society, same thing. You have a file on George Snyder? No, no. Week later, call back. Yeah, we found it. I thought, well, it probably can't be much in it, right? So I get the file. This file hasn't been opened for 70 years. And I start looking. I open the first page, and it's his internment papers. He was interned because of slovenly personal habits. That's all it took to get him into Warm Springs.
Wow.
Because he would have these, like, blackouts. And I turn the page. The next page is a letter from my great aunt Doris to the director of the Warm Springs and saying, yeah, we had a good visit with him. Can we do anything to get him out? And so here's my great aunt Doris's letter in a totally unrelated file from 70 years ago, probably the only person to ever look at it. And it was her letterhead at Stanton Creek Lodge and all that. And so forgive her for lying about it. But and so, you know. So what I did was I worked up a plan with the Warm Springs to give him a headstone. And so they drove me, and so they found where he was buried and they drove me out there. And as far as the eye could see, there were all these mounds with these crooked little rusty markers. Most of them had no markers. Thousands of people buried there unmarked. And so I had Pete Darling of the Columbia Falls Cemetery. He made me a headstone for George. So I took a headstone out to Warm Springs and he's got a headstone. Wow. He's one of the few people buried out there that do.
So the research that you're doing on all this must be the culmination of just decades of research.
That's exactly right. Wild River Pioneers was 8 to 10 years of digging. Every little clue, like finding Snyder. The only reason I found Snyder in Warm Springs is because Ace Powell happened to mention it in a Park Service mm-hmm. interview. And so that's the only reason I found that one, for example.
Wow. So let's talk about where this book is available now. It's a beautiful cover. And as I say, the pictures are just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, well, Far Country did a fantastic job with this one as well as my other three books that they published for me. And they distribute books all around. Like Sue Johnson from Far Country will be up next week, all going all around the edges of the park and different bookstores and that kind of thing. You can get this. It just came out, this Wild River Pioneers second edition. So it just came out last week. So it'll be in the bookstore soon. It's all through Glacier. It'll be all through Glacier. The museum, the Northwest Montana History Museum has it. So they've got it there as well. And one other thing I should mention probably is that as I mentioned, the Josephine Duty Homestead now is part of the public trust. It's part of Glacier Park. Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful going over to visit it because you have to cross the Middle Fork. And I don't know if you've ever seen the Middle Fork up there, but it's no easy thing to cross the Middle Fork. Yeah. It's going to be about August before you can wade across it. But you can float across. So I don't want anybody to get hurt trying to find Josephine's.
Yeah.
And then one other quick thing about Josephine is when I first was put on the story by Maxine Adoris, I was skiing. I skied across the river on the ice, and I went up to Harrison Lake where I was going to ice fish.
Mm-hmm.
When I came back down, and I kind of hit my cheek on a branch, started bleeding, and I thought, oh boy, because I had seen these mountain lion tracks up there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
When I came back to her homestead down below, I skied around it. Well, I had skied around it on the way up too. But when mm-hmm. I skied around it, when I came down, there was mountain lion tracks exiting Josephine's old homestead. So there was a mountain lion inside that homestead. And practically every time we ski up there, we see it. So when I got back and I asked Maxine and Doris about it, and Maxine said, John, that wasn't a mountain lion. That was the bootleg lady. Well, she wasn't called that then. We got that name. But
yeah.
That was Josephine. She's calling you to tell your story. She won't be satisfied until you do. And so I'm finally now thinking, okay, she's got the restaurant. She's got all these books that mention her. So she had a funeral. She's got a headstone. So I think we've told her story.
And maybe now so they're saying that she actually became this animal.
Well, they think so.
Yeah.
Or they think it was a way of whether it was in my heart or my mind or if it was real. They say that this animal, this, you know, you're being called to do this. And
this is getting a little bit weird. It's getting a little out there, John.
It's kind of fun, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily believe that animal was Josephine Duty, but I think it was a sign to me somehow.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of pictures of her in here.
Yeah, yeah. And those are the ones we were able to find. You know, Josephine mm-hmm. Duty was an unknown quantity when I started this, and now she's part of our folklore. So if more than anything is one of the great things that came out of this book. So
where can we buy the book?
Well, it's found pretty much everywhere books are sold, in Amazon, also all through the park and that area up at the Middle Fork, like the Glacier Highland will have mm-hmm. them. And then Far Country, you can order them from Far Country in Helena, if you just look that up.
Yeah.
And that one and my other three now, that makes four books that they've published for me. And as you can see, they do a beautiful job.
They sure do. Yeah. Wow.
And it's it.
Now, this is one that you want to take home with you.
it's kind of big. I don't know if that one will pack into the wilderness very much, but a number of people back my last book, which is called Heroes of the Bob Marshall Wilderness, Into the Wilderness. So, but you know, George Ostrom helped me review this, and George also helped me review my last book, Heroes of the Bob. And as a matter of fact, Heroes of the Bob has a great story about George Ostrom's his smoke jumping into the Bob Marshall Wilderness. That's in Heroes of the Bob Marshall Wilderness.
Wow.
And it looks just like that book, but it's found in the same thing. Museum has it.
Always a great conversation. Congratulations, John, on another great book.
All right, John, thanks for having me on.
You got another one cooking?
I've already written my next one. I'm just waiting to see if Far Country's going to publish it or not.
Really?
They don't just publish anything. I mean, it's got to be, you know, good. And so we'll see what they think about the next one.
All right. John, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
All right.